this is Neil Funk, and you're listening to Frick on the Chicago Bullseye.
Hello, this is Nate Friedel, and you're listening to Frick on the Chicago Bullseye. Hi, this is Chuck Swirsky, and you're listening to Frick on the Chicago Bullseye.
I'm Bob Love of the Chicago Bulls, and you listen to Freddie.
No, yeah, I think that'll be the first guy off the bench, rightfully so. But I really hope that I don't know how there wouldn't be room for Gafford in the rotation, unless they're just playing really small and Wendell's healthy.
Yeah.
So then you'd probably only see him situationally, but I'm really hoping he sneaks into the rotation.
So the first thing I saw when I walked in was Satoransky, Otto Porter Jr., and Valentine all in the corner working on three-pointers. Each guy would take two shots, go to the end of the line. Coach would get the rebound and hit the guy in the chest, two shots, go to the next spot. Satoransky hit about nine in a row. He was the most impressive out of any of the shooters I saw. Even more so, he made more than Otto Porter Jr. You know, I love just – that's a big thing for me is watching guys shoot when there's nobody on the court. If you're not going to make it consistently with nobody on the court, you're not going to make it in the game. I still remember a preseason game where I saw – not a preseason game, it was a regular season game. In 2013, I believe, the Bulls were playing – Memphis, and I was about 10 rows up, got there early, and Kirk Heinrich shot about 40% in pregame with nobody on him. I counted every shot, you know. So how are you going to expect to come out and have an actually good game when you're shooting 40% in the pregame, you know? So it was pretty disappointing to watch a pro shoot like that, and then I see a guy like Satoransky with nobody on him just nailing shot after shot. Absolutely beautiful form, beautiful rotation. He was extremely impressive the entire practice. What say you?
No, I think Satoransky's signing is going to be underrated by a lot of people who don't know anything about him until they start watching the games. And he's such a team player, and he does bring, you know, the outside shooting that Kobe has yet to prove at the NBA level and done his, you know, really kind of dropped the ball in that category his whole career. So, that's really encouraging, but you're kind of cracking me up talking about open court shooting. But that was
here we go.
When it came to Mo Bamba, man, like what happened?
Well, that's a little. It's a little
it's
different.
All good. As long as it's not Mo Bamba now, then I just love to see it.
The problem is with Mo Bamba is that it was edited tape. If I would have sat in the gym. And I would have watched him shoot.
So you needed to be in the bleachers.
Yes,
to bomb the
I needed to witness it. Okay. Not an edited tape where, oh my God, he hit seven in a row. Yeah, how did he shoot in the other 400 shots? He probably shot about 25%. That was my whole argument about it. Like, I want to see Mo Bamba shoot for 100 shots in a row. How many does he make? And I heard other people mention he didn't shoot well at other points. So that's what I'm saying. Okay. When I'm sitting in there watching guys shoot, I you know, there's no edits. It's me. It's not the PR team, so you gotta bring this down by bringing up Mo Bamba. Come on, are you kidding? We got along so well, Keith.
It's just got to be fair, you know. That's all. I was happy here. You throw Kirk under the bus. I was all for it, but I had to know what this meant.
I'm just telling the truth. It was appalling what I saw from the allegedly great Kirk Heinrich in that pregame. So Kobe White was paired a lot with Satoransky, I noticed. And Boylan specifically mentioned that those two had built some chemistry. You know, what say you about the pairings that you see out of these point guards, these five point guards who can probably, you know, all slide to the two occasionally?
See, I really think Satoransky needs to be the starter. I think the chemistry between him and Kobe is encouraging. Obviously, when you're bringing in someone who's somewhat of a veteran like Sato, you're hoping, you know, that your rookie point guard's going to take to them and, you know, kind of take them under their wing and mentor them. So that relationship was really cool to see, and they did have a lot of chemistry. So, but like I said, with Sato starting, I'm sure you'll find time where Kobe and Sato are on the court together, but I think it's going to come down to Dunn and Kobe on the second unit, unless Jimbo staggers the rotations to where, you know, he's avoiding that. I don't know. But I really would assume Sato's going to be the starter. So I don't know how much Kobe Sato we're going to see, but the gravity that they had towards each other was definitely encouraging.
I thought Dunn had some great moments in that practice. I thought he had some really nice moments in the second half. He was all over the place defensively. I think he had four steals. I'm a little bewildered why everybody's so eager to bury Dunn. I know he's not a great outside shooter, and that was his fault. That's what I saw in that practice, that he didn't do well. There was one play in particular that I recall where Dunn and Ryan A. were in the backcourt, and Ryan A. had a really solid fundamental play where he kind of basically spiked an offensive rebound right out to Dunn for a wide-open three, and Dunn mishandled the pass. But, you know, so he wasn't perfect, but I still think he's miles ahead of whatever we have on the perimeter defensively. I really like Dunn. I love the attitude he's brought to camp, and I think it's just pure insanity that people want to trade him for, you know, a bucket of balls and a second-round pick.
No, I think it's insanity that if that's the offer that's on the table and you're saying yes, you need to reevaluate your opinion of Chris Dunn. It's all right to, you know, not be a big-time fan of his, but going to that drastic of, we need to get this guy out of here, I don't understand either. It has to be like the top pick stigma that comes with being a top five pick. You know, they were expecting John Wall, Russell Westbrook, and it's just hasn't been in the cards for him, and that's probably not ever going to be in the cards for him. But if Chris Dunn's your backup point guard or in your guard rotation coming off your bench, that means you got some solid depth, whether you like Absolutely. Chris Dunn or not. So
you're going to do far worse than Chris Dunn coming off the bench, let's put it that way. I mean, you're in the upper echelon of backup point guards if Chris Dunn is your backup point guard.
Exactly.
So I want to go – I don't have as much of a problem as most people do with him starting. Like, I understand, you know, his numbers on and off with Zach aren't great. Get him out early then, you know. But start him. You're not going to go down the tubes just playing those guys in the backcourt together. Satoransky's coming off the bench and supporting guys like Valentine and playing with guys like Valentine and you know, Kobe White.
It should be interesting to see how that plays out. I do think Sato is the best point guard on our team currently. I think he should be the starter. But when you put it that way and you kind of think about it a little bit, I could see where you're coming from, that having that veteran presence on the second unit to lead that unit might work better than Chris Dunn. But you also mentioned, which I also agreed with, was that Zach and Chris playing together, more so for Chris, is kind of like counterproductive for him. Because
yeah.
Zach's end up having the ball the entire time, and I think Sato is just that much better of an off-ball threat.
Well, yeah, there's no denying it. We've all seen the numbers of Dunn on and off with LaVine, and he's significantly better with separated from him, you know. So that's up to Coach Boylan. He's got to figure that out and get as many minutes for Dunn with LaVine off the court and vice versa. I do want to talk about Sato because I don't think we've really talked about it enough. To me, he was the most impressive player in the entire practice that we witnessed up close. Not the game, not the first preseason game, but the practice. There were three or four. Number one, I could not believe how hard these guys were playing in that practice. It was a full-blown game with three officials, inter-squad scrimmage, and they were playing hard. Do you concur?
You know, with bursts up to 100%, but probably 80% throughout, which for a practice is probably pretty in, you know, up there.
Yeah, well, I thought it was pretty physical. There were a lot of significant collisions, let's just put it mildly, and, you know, Laurie was complaining to the officials. I know, I remember one pick that Otto said on Laurie that was kind of a moving pick that he was kind of furious about a no-call on, and it was just fascinating to watch these athletes up this close. They're just so impressive. Let's talk a little bit about Denzel Valentine. Now, are you chuckling? How dare you?
No, I was trying to breathe.
First of all, there's absolutely no chuckling. This is a celebration that this kid came back. I'm thrilled for him. He's such a good kid. I read an article from KC that he was shed a tear on the way to the stadium, and you know, his career was in jeopardy. No doubt, it's clear he was winded, and he needs to get his legs underneath him a little bit. You know, when going that long and being under restrictions to work out, only recently being lifted, he's not 100% still, but there were a lot of good things. He made a ton of good shots in that practice. Made a lot of mistakes that indicate rust, but overall, he's going to be a massive help for us on that second unit. What say you?
I say as long as he stops trying to be Zach LaVine and trying to drive with the ball, that we should be all right. If he hangs out on the perimeter as a catch-and-shoot guy, works as a secondary playmaker, in transition, and he sticks to his floater that's kind of goofy but is effective, I think we'll be good. I just don't want to see him trying. Last night in preseason got kind of ugly there for a little bit.
Just a little bit. There were still a lot of good things. I thought he had some nice chemistry going with Gafford. He had a nice alley-oop to Gafford. I can't stand it when we try to portray Valentine as he's just a three-point shooter. That's not remotely true. He handles the ball at a high level. He's a great ball handler. He's got great vision.
He handles the ball great when he's not trying to go to the basket and make a layup.
Well, I have to disagree with you. I think he handles the ball very well. I love his ball handling.
Last night against the G team.
Well, one couple bad plays there, no doubt. Still, there's some rust there, but his ball handling is superb. His passing is superb. He's a really good playmaker.
I agree. He's a great secondary playmaker. And in transition, I do not doubt him when he, grabs the board and just goes. I don't have a problem with any of that. Just no layups.
Yeah, the only negatives were one pass that was out ahead of him, and oh my gosh, he looked so incredibly slow on it. I don't know what happened there. That was a little disturbing. It was like a full sprint. Do you remember this play? There was a play that was kind of the ball went out ahead of him, and he was racing with a guy behind him, and somehow he made it and made a great reverse layup. But he didn't look that – not a great burst, which was disturbing. But, overall, the guy's going to be fine. He's going to hit big shots. He's going to be a nice player off the bench. What say you?
Zell is definitely in the top three in terms of shooters on the team, I think. Maybe not. Zach, Otto, Lowry, I don't know. Denzel's definitely in the top five shooters on the team. So with the emphasis on that, I think he'll definitely make a major impact, given, his lack of impact in not playing at all last year. You can't go any further down than that.
Okay. Any other impressions?
I promise I'm on your side. It doesn't sound like it.
What the heck? I don't even want to go down this path. I'm going to have a formal declaration. I realize that my stance on Denzel is probably hurting the kid, since I unfortunately have a lot of haters who disagree with everything I say just because I'm saying it, and so they'll just hate Denzel because I'm pro Denzel. So I'm gonna take it back a notch and not celebrate every great thing that he does. And because first of all, it's a little bit like an overbearing parent, and it's getting a little old. So he does so many great things. It gets boring. The type, what another great play by Denzel. I think that'll be progress for everyone who follows the Bulls, is me cut down on my Denzel commentary. Is there anything else that we didn't touch on? I guess Lowry and Zach. Let's get your. I thought Zach at times. I mean, the guy athletically, when you're that close to him, it's effortless how incredible he is. He had a dunk that was just incredible on the baseline during that practice that we attended. What do you think about him so far in the preseason and practice we witnessed?
I mean, we heard Jim say that Zach got better. He got more athletic, and that was kind of. Made you take yourself back a little bit? Like, what? What do you mean? How can that guy get more athletic? Having never sat that close to Zach, I could probably easily over-exaggerate. But I could just sit in a gym and watch him and Lowry take jumpers all day. Like, both of their shots and the way that they play is just, it's mesmerizing.
I agree 100%. I enjoy watching it, too. Lowry... There were some great moments in the first preseason game. I really want to see him take that next step, though. I am a little, I don't know if the right word is concerned, but I wasn't blown away with him at practice. I wasn't like, wow, this is what I was expecting. I don't know if you felt the same way. I thought he was a little bit, he needed to be a little bit more assertive. Another guy who I was really impressed with was Otto Porter Jr. He was just stellar at some points of that practice. We're just hitting big threes. There was one in particular that shows the greatness of Sato, where they were moving the ball around on the perimeter, and Sato had a shot on the corner, free throw line extended, that I'd say 95% of the players in the NBA would have taken selfishly. And he just, instead of having a somewhat open three, he kicked it over to Otto in the corner for a wide open three. And just a really nice play that Otto just drained. I love Otto Porter Jr. I thought he showed complete professionalism. Just watching him work out was just a thing of beauty. What say you?
To add on to that, since you already covered Otto, you could see a lot from Thad.
Yes.
The fluidity in how he handled the ball and moved on the court in person, it seemed even, more crisp and smooth than what you can see on TV. He really impressed me in that practice as well.
Yeah, I agree. And before practice, too, you saw him with his family. He has a son, I'd estimate. He's probably about my son's age, probably 8 or 9, 10 maybe. And, he took some pictures. The guy just seems like a class act. Really good leader, really good family man. I'm just ecstatic that he's on a team. Defensively, you see it right away. I think the Bulls were 27th in block shots. With him playing, Gafford and Wendell Carter Jr. hopefully being healthy, they should move up to the top half with just those three guys. What say you?
No, those three are going to be the key. Their health, they're the stability on this team on both ends of the floor. Otto probably more so on the offensive end with the spacing that he brings, but he's equally as good as a defender. You could probably say the same thing for Sato, as where Thad is definitely more of the grinder, though I think at this stage of his career, he probably is going to start relying on that corner three quite a bit more. So that should be interesting to see. But those three are going to be the key to this season.
Yep, absolutely. Are you still feeling good about the team? Let's hear your prediction for the total number of wins.
I don't want to be cliche and say 500, so I'll go with 42-40. I do think we're going to be playing meaningful games all season, hopefully down to the wire. I know that probably leaves us at 8th, although it is the East, so maybe we could still make your 7th for your mantra. But, I'm still feeling really good about the season, and as long as we stay healthy, we should be at least competing for a playoff spot down the stretch.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. Well, I got him as a 7th seed. I think we're going to win 43 games. 4 + 3 = 7. And I think it's going to be a great season. I think it's going to be exciting. There's some concerns, I think, most based on the first preseason game, but I think most of those are going to be addressed with the return of Wendell Carter Jr. Rebounding and defense, interior defense, are just going to exponentially improve with his presence. So as long as we stay healthy, this is going to be a fantastic year, and I can't wait for it to begin. Looking forward to talking with you all year long about the beloved Bulls, and let's hopefully get out to a couple more games this year.
Sounds good, man. No, I'm really excited for the season, and you know where to find me.
It's always good to talk to you, brother, and I can't wait. Let's definitely do it again soon, probably hopefully early next week, and as we start the beginning and the birth of the Red Leviathan.
Sounds great, man.
Take it easy, brother. Good talking to you, Keith.
Have a good one.